So after a relatively long sermon this morning, I promise I won't talk for too long this evening. I want to start by reflecting on something I heard on CBC a couple of weeks back. It was from author and scholar and scientist Robin Wall Kimmerer. She was talking about the words and the terms that we use to describe the world around. And that as a scientist and an indigenous person, she finds that many of the terms that we use reflect a colonial and commercial and, I would say, empire-based mindset. She talked about the way that trees and metals, water, oil, gas, and even fish and wildlife are labeled as natural resources, making them commodities, things to be used, and indeed used up by human beings, by industry, by commerce. She said that as a professor and an influencer within the scientific community, she is encouraging a different mindset, to talk and think of these things as earthly gifts. For when we see things as gifts, there's the chance we will see them as precious, or in terms of needing to steward and care for them. Thanks to John Thetamanil, I also heard that Robin Wall Kimmerer was a guest lecturer at Union Theological Seminary and was asked how those who are settlers and of settler descent can best live on the lands of indigenous peoples. And she responded, and I am paraphrasing, I'm sure John has a more accurate memory of this. She responded by saying, "The best way you can respond is by becoming indigenous to the place where you are, where you live, by learning whose lands you live on, by getting to know where your watershed is, by learning about the native plants and animals in that place, by being at home. Amongst some indigenous tribes, colonizers are known as those who never left their ships. They may have physically settled, they may have built homes and businesses, but their hearts are still on the deck of the boats that brought them or their ancestors. They have never been truly rooted in the land they now inhabit." I think that such an attitude is prevalent in Western thinking. We never really root ourselves in the land, never get to know the native species, but often only the ones we brought, quote, from home. We never really learned the way of caring or sustaining the land which cares for and sustains us. In the novel, The Poisonwood Bible by Barbara Kingsolver, we read the story of the Prices, a missionary family who go to what was called Belgian Congo, and they go to take US Christianity there. One of the first mistakes that Nathan, the patriarch of the Price clan, makes is to think that his own Western way of doing things is the best way of doing things. So when planting a garden, refuses to listen to the advice of local people and build up the garden with deep furrows running through, and steadfastly plants as he would plant at home, the American way. And lo, when the first rains of the season arrive, the whole garden is washed away. We may not now ourselves be traveling elsewhere, taking our own ways with us, but as settlers and those settler descended, our attitude as a society has been and continues to be often that our culture, our way of doing and seeing, remains in some way superior to the people of this place or cultures not like us. And into such a mindset speaks the writer of Ecclesiasticus and the anonymous writer of to the Jerusalem church who wrote the epistle to the Hebrews in the lessons we heard a short while ago. Ecclesiasticus reminds us beautifully and poetically, but also in the form of a challenge, to notice, to look, to truly look at the wonder of the world around us, to be inspired by that and to see our place in the universe, to see our place in relation to creation and to the creative mind, the divine behind it. In truly engaging with the works of the divine, says the writer, we are engaged with the creator. If we really manage to get our hearts and minds around the wonder of the works of God, we will gain a fuller perspective of the divine presence and divine will within all things. For this writer, creation is not just scenery, a backdrop, a place where you live, but the way of encounter and wonder. The very last verse is particularly striking. Who could ever tire of seeing his, meaning God's, or her glory? It seems we have tired of it. As a society, we build over it. We lay asphalt on it. We clear cut it. We strip mine it. We extract and we use it up. We mar the image of the Creator in God's creation. I said this morning that our stories that we tell about the world frame our mindset and our approach and create our reality. When we speak in terms of the danger of the world or where we live, then lives are lived in fear and every stranger is a threat. When we speak in terms of the beauty of the world and look at people, plants, animals, mountains, seas, everything, to use a term popular in many indigenous cultures, we use the term of all my relations, then we can relish engaging with and learning about them. And to do this, says the writer to the Hebrews, we need faith, by which they are talking not about doctrine or the church or institutions of religion, but trust. Trust in the Creator, trust in the divine, the one who is faithful, the one who is trustworthy and true. And when we truly see the divine presence in all people and mediated through all creation, then we will be closer to where our scriptures call us to where the writer of Ecclesiasticus beckons us, to a place where God, our neighbors, and all the created world is seen as the same thing. They are all our relations. Thanks be to God.